When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the haunted house on Echo Drive.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
We love your real ghost stories, so if you have one, would you share it with us? You can call it in at 855-853-4802 or write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Now, if you would like to be a premium subscriber with no commercials, advanced episodes, access to the complete archive, then you could do that. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts or you can try it for 3 days free. You could also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And my friend Harper, how are you, girl?
I am good. How are you, Carol?
Great. I have a question for you. Okay. So I saw some pictures that your dad posted of your more fall type of decorations around your home. Yeah. Quite beautiful. But I was really surprised because you and him are traditionally known for the Halloween decorations, the little more scary stuff.
I know.
Are you going to do that this year or a little bit of it? Or what are you going to do?
We don't know this year, actually. We might do it just a bit more like into like the October season, but I don't know. I feel like we both think it's a bit too early right now.
Because I saw the pictures and I'm like, your house looks great. Don't get me wrong. But I thought by now you guys would have skeletons up in your front yard or something.
I don't know. Last year it was a bit too like funhousey with all the animatronics we had. So I think we're just going to hold off a bit on that.
It was a little too much last year.
Yeah.
Man, I was driving in an older neighborhood that goes all out for Halloween. And I was there last night. And there are so many houses that already, they're 100% all in.
Really?
Oh, my God. And these people have, it's like major props built. Like, there's one house last year that had a ship in their front yard. And by a ship, I mean, it was a ship. It was huge. And so they had all these zombie pirates and stuff in their yard. And so that was the theme for last year. Could you imagine, like, just go, what do we want to do for a theme? Let's do a zombie ship. We'll have a prop builder make us a ship. And, you know, and then you got to have the right costumes for all these zombie pirates.
Yeah.
I just don't have the energy or the money to do something like that.
I don't know how anybody actually does.
So, I don't know. I was just wondering if you guys were going to do something.
I don't know. We probably will eventually, but it probably won't be to like the same extent that we have previous years.
Kind of a little bit more low key.
Yeah.
So anyways, let's do this story about this house. And it says, this is a story about a house my family and I lived in from 2000 to 2008. Before we officially moved in, I was busy tearing out carpet and old tiles in the kitchen and repainting the rooms. My youngest daughter, Jessie, was about 4 years old at the time. One day while I was working inside, I heard Jessie talking to someone in the backyard. Curious, I walked out to see who she was chatting with, but when I got there, she was alone. I asked her, "Who were you talking to?" "Lisa," she said, pointing into thin air. I thought it was strange, but brushed it off, figuring maybe she'd made an imaginary friend since we'd moved. She never had one before, so I didn't think much about it. Then something strange happened. I was putting up a border in my oldest daughter's room, one with unicorns and castles that she had picked out. It was one of those adhesive borders that sticks to the wall. I spent the day unrolling it and pressing it into place, and as it got darker, we had to leave since the electricity hadn't been turned on yet. The next morning, I went back to continue working on the house, and when I walked into my oldest daughter's room, the border was lying on the floor. I thought, what the hell? I picked it up, smoothed it out, stuck it back on the wall, and it stayed up fine all day. But the next morning when I returned, the border was off the wall again, lying on the floor. This time I said, what the hell? I was getting frustrated, so I decided to nail the thing to the wall to make sure it stayed. The following morning, I walked into the room. Not only was the border off the wall, but it was crumpled up and torn, like someone had ripped it down with force. I stood there in shock, saying, okay, I won't put the border up. And before you ask, no one had gotten into the house. All the doors were locked and our neighbors had been keeping an eye on the place. Meanwhile, Jessie kept talking about Lisa. She said Lisa always wore the same pale pink dress and had long dark hair. They played together almost every day. And one time I watched Jessie playing pickup sticks with Lisa. She whispered softly and stared intently at her invisible friend, and when she finished playing, Jessie said goodbye to Lisa and watched her walk out of the room. Even today, thinking about it gives me chills. Then, one night I heard running, like a small child sprinting from one end of the house to the other. Assuming it was one of my kids, I got up to check, but both were sound asleep. The running became a regular occurrence, echoing through the house at night. One evening, Jessie told me that Lisa was mad and she didn't want to play with her anymore. I tucked her into bed, but later that night, a small lamp fell off the table and hit her on the head, hard enough to leave a small bruise on her forehead. The very next night, I woke up around 3 a.m. to the sound of something crunching. When I went into the kitchen, I saw my daughter's quilt spread out on the floor like someone had neatly laid it there. I went to check on her and she was curled up shivering because her quilt was missing. Was this Lisa or something pretending to be her? For a week, everything was quiet. Then one afternoon, I came home from work and went to my room. I heard a loud buzzing sound coming from the bathroom, and when I opened the door, there were hundreds of horseflies swarming in the bathroom. There was no explanation, no vents, no openings, just flies everywhere. My kids were terrified, and I was too shocked to even know what to do. The next day, I asked a friend to check the crawl space under the house. Maybe something had died there and that's what was causing all the flies? He crawled under, but within a few minutes I heard him shout, "Oh my God, oh my God." I asked him what he saw and he told me, "It's all dirt under here except for something that's bricked up right under your bedroom. I don't know if it's a well or a grave, but I'm not going back in there again." He promptly left, looking shaken as I felt. A few weekends later, my daughters were spending time with their dad, so I had the house to myself. That Saturday night, I was getting ready for bed, feeling a little on edge, and I called my friend Laura to chat and calm my nerves. While I was talking to her, the phone suddenly filled with static. I couldn't hear anything for about 30 seconds. The room around me felt heavy, darker than usual. Then I saw it. The doorway of my bedroom, backlit by the nightlight from the kitchen, there stood a small, dark silhouette, completely still. I could see the outline of long hair and a dress, and her hands were pulled up as if she was holding something. She had no face, just a black void where her face should be. I couldn't speak. I tried, but only a small gasp came out, and my body felt frozen. Laura was still on the line, frantically asking, "Paulette, what is it? What's wrong?" I finally whispered, "I see Lisa. She's here." As soon as I managed to turn on the bedside lamp, the figure was gone. The room lit up and I sat there gasping for breath, trying to make sense of what had just happened. And that was my first introduction to Lisa. There were many more occurrences in that house, but I thought you'd find this story especially interesting. Thank you for letting me share my experience, Paulette. But that's like the beginning of the story.
Yeah, that is the beginning of a story.
I mean, I love that line. And that was my introduction to Lisa. That's the beginning. Oh. Now you turn the page and there's like 20 freaking other chapters about Lisa.
Exactly. I would love to read that book.
So Lisa's not even nice. And you wonder too, is Lisa really a kid or is Lisa something pretending to look like a kid?
I have so many questions. Is it a grave? Is it like Lisa itself or is it somebody Lisa killed? Like, what are we doing here?
And if he's in the crawl space, which trust me, I have a crawl space under my house and you could not pay me enough money to crawl down in there. My termite guy comes once a year and he crawls in it. That's good enough for me. So I know I don't have a grave or anything under there, but if you had somebody crawling in your crawl space and you hear him go, "Oh my God, oh my God." And they go, "I don't know if that was a grave or a well, but I'm never going back in there." That would creep me out.
Me too.
Because it might just be a well, but it creeped him out so bad. He's like, never going back in there. And what about all the flies?
Oh, yeah. Like, what about all the flies?
Like, that's not right.
At all.
And where do they come from and how do you get rid of them? Like, you just open the door now, they're all over your damn house.
Oh.
I don't know how they got rid of the flies. And then, like, the border that just kept coming down, it's adhesive border. It doesn't fall off. It's being pulled off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just seems like at some point, can you make peace with Lisa or try? Or did she? I don't know. Because it's like, and that was my first time seeing Lisa.
And is Lisa actually Lisa or is Lisa something else?
There's more to this story. I feel like this is half. This is Introduction to Lisa.
Yes.
That's the chapter. Then we turn the page, and now we find out more about Lisa. And did Lisa haunt them forever? Do they still live there? Is Lisa still there? What is going on with Lisa?
Exactly.
So many questions about Lisa.
And not many answers, like at all.
We have no answers. Because I'm concerned about her little girl. Like,
yeah.
Lisa's pulling her blankets off and leaving her poor little girl shivering. That's not right. So Lisa doesn't seem like a little girl who's friendly.
Exactly.
I don't know. There's so much more to that story.
Yeah.
So here's what I hope that they were like, we're moving. And then once they moved, Mom stood at the doorway and she said, Lisa, you are staying here. You're not allowed to come with us. You are not welcome. We are moving on and you are staying here. That's what I would like the next chapter to be.
Yeah.
I think that would be healthier for all involved. Well, here is our next story.
Yes, my name is Dawn. I am from St. Louis, Missouri. I have a whole lifetime's worth of encounters. My experience I'm calling to tell you about, I'll get right into it. I was about 8 years old. I grew up in a very abusive environment. It was my stepfather. He was very abusive to me, so my mom dropped me off with my grandmother to raise me because it was so bad that I stuttered so bad and I didn't socialize. I kept to myself. I played to myself. And I'd always have marks all over me, so I was constantly, the services was being called on them all the time. So my mom just eventually dropped me off with my grandma. My grandma left Missouri and went up to Indiana. And my mom dropped me off there, and then I started getting, you know, better. I started opening up and socializing and coming out of a shell that I was in and started being able to say the cat without taking 2 hours of saying the cat. But anyway, my mom wanted me back. So my stepdad is in construction, and he built this house, and it was in like a housing complex in St. Louis. And my room was pink. I had pink walls, pink blind. And there was just a bed in my room. I had nothing else. There was no posters. There was nothing. And when I came to stay, they got me a balloon. And it was a pink balloon. And I was sleeping in my bed one night. And then I woke up to the balloon hitting on the ceiling of my bedroom, and I woke up to the pulp, 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 pulp sound on the ceiling. And I was sitting there and I was staring up at it, and it was in the middle, dead in the night. And all of a sudden the balloon started to move, and it moved across, and then it went under the door frame out into the hallway, still making that sound, that pulp, pulp, as it was going under. It hit the ceiling and it was bouncing off the ceiling and scooting along the ceiling. And my brother's bedroom, both my brother's bedroom, was right next door. And the balloon went out in the hallway, went under their door frame, went into their room, went to the middle of the room where their light was, and then went, came back out, came towards me, went under the door, around the door frame again. It's making a pump, pump, pump sound. And it came back out in the hallway, and I'm standing there just staring up at it. Straight forward is the kitchen, and it started heading towards the kitchen. And out in the kitchen, right by the back door that goes out into the yard, there's also a garage door right beside the back door. And it would go down in the basement, you know, the basement. But the balloon started to go in the kitchen, and I stopped right there in the hallway, and I was watching to see where it was going next. And then the balloon started, it went under the door frame and started to head downstairs into the basement. And I had this really weird, creepy feeling, like it went up my spine and it told me, it said, run. And I was going to follow it, but something like a feeling was just like, no. And I ran into my bed and I threw the blankets over my head. And I don't know why, but I thought sitting there going, you know, plugging your ears, blanket over your head going, you know, like it was going to protect me, like I don't know, shut the door on a monster and was safe or something, like that blanket and that noise. I don't know, like mentally, I guess it took me somewhere else and maybe it saved me, but all I remember doing was making that, and I was so scared, and I was so concentrated on, you know, the singing and plugging my ears, that next thing you know, I woke up, and it was morning, and I pulled the blanket off my head, like, it happened, like, I don't know how in the world, but I fell asleep fast, and I don't know what happened to that balloon, and I never went down that basement. My brothers would go down there and play, and, there was one time I remember walking in broad daylight when my brothers were down there, and it was the only time I walked down there because I wanted to know what happened to that balloon. And I walked down the stairs, and I didn't even go into the basement. I was scared to go into the basement. But I stood there, and while they were down there playing and riding their bikes and stuff, I was looking everywhere, and I don't know what happened to that balloon. I was just there. I don't know what happened to it.
Okay, so I think we can agree that's not normal balloon behavior.
Like, at all?
No. I could see it being, like, I could see it moving, maybe, like, you know, if the air conditioner kicked off or the heater kicked off and there was, or some windows were open causing a draft through the house. I could see it moving out of a room, maybe, but this was more intelligent than that. It was, like, moving down the hall, into a room, out of a room, down a hall, down the stairs. That's not normal.
Yeah, it almost like sounds like it's trying to lead somebody somewhere. If
her,
if
yeah,
you think about it,
because yeah, it was trying to get her to the basement, and then she had that overwhelming like run. Thank yeah God that kicked in because she was following it.
My question is, why a balloon in specific?
Maybe because whatever it was trying to get her down to the basement.
No, like, I understand that part, but why the object of the
yeah
balloon?
Well, and that I thought was weird, too, because there's nothing in her room. Now, maybe they just hadn't gotten around to putting, you know, fixing up a room for a little girl yet.
Yeah.
But there's nothing in it but a balloon.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, yeah, agreed. That's kind of weird. It seems like that's the natural story that will follow. It's like, and there was only a balloon in my room. And of course, this is what's going to happen.
Huh.
I don't know. Can't say I like that, though. I guess the moral to that story is when the balloon starts moving through your house, just go back to bed.
Completely.
You know, ignore the moving, roaming balloon.
Please,
just go back to bed.
Ignore the moving, roaming balloon.
And the balloon could have, you know, or if her parents saw it in the basement, they could have just gotten rid of it. But
yeah.
Or was the balloon ever there? You know,
was the balloon ever there?
Was there really a balloon in her room? Did she just think it was there?
Or was it just a hallucination, not necessarily hallucination.
Or maybe it was like some paranormal thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe nobody knew about the balloon but her.
Exactly.
But here's our next story. It says, one of the scariest encounters of my life happened when I was a counselor in training at a summer camp in Grand Isle, Vermont. My friend Brock and I were getting ready to tell the campfire story of Three-Fingered Louie. That sounds like old gangster.
It does. It really does.
We're going to tell you kids about Three-Fingered Louie. It doesn't seem like a good story for campers. The plan was for me to play the part of Louie. I'd hide behind the cabin and scratch the window ever so often to freak out the campers. Classic camp scare tactics. So there I was, sitting outside behind the cabin, crouched down when I heard where the campers couldn't see me. The area behind the cabin led into a thick, dark forest. I was just waiting for my cue, ready to scratch the screen and send shivers down the kids' spines. As I sat there in the quiet, my eyes adjusted to the darkness, and I found myself staring out into the woods. That's when I saw it. I need a sound effect. Bom, bom, bom.
Dun, dun, dun.
Thank you. At first, I wasn't sure what I was looking at, but as my eyes focused, I realized it was a black, shadowy figure standing there watching. And the worst part? It had glowing blood red eyes. My heart
of course it does.
They always do. My heart stopped. I could see the shape of the figure clearly, almost too clearly for comfort. It was tall. And on one of its hands, I noticed something that made my blood run cold. It only had three fingers, a thumb, a middle finger, and a pinky. Three-fingered Louie. I nearly crapped my pants right there. My body froze for a second, but then pure terror kicked in. I bolted around the side of the cabin, running faster than I'd ever run in my life, right up to the front door. I burst in the cabin, slammed the door behind me, and did my best to lock it. Brock, who had been in the middle of telling the three-fingered Louie story to the campers, immediately stopped and looked at me confused. "What's wrong?" he asked. Out of breath, shaking, and I could barely get the words out. "Three-finger Louie in the woods, and he's coming this way." Of course. Brock didn't waste any...
"Three-finger Louie, he's in the woods, coming this way."
Everybody, protect yourself. I'm a camp counselor, but I give no shits about any of you children. You're on your own. Brock didn't waste any time. We both ran to the window, peering out into the darkness. And there it was, the same shadowy figure with those eerie red eyes, slowly making its way toward the cabin. At first, the campers thought it was all part of the act, but then when they saw the look on our faces, they got curious and ran to the windows. The second they saw it, every single one of them went pale. It was like they'd all seen a ghost. The kids scrambled back to their bunks, diving under their blankets and trying to hide. Brock and I exchanged a look, but neither of us had any idea what to do. Needless to say, nobody got any sleep that night. We all stayed huddled inside, keeping as far away from the windows as possible, wondering what the hell we had just seen. To this day, I still don't have an answer. Robert. I have a theory.
Three-fingered Louie.
It's three-fingered Louie.
I'm sorry, that...
So Robert is outside the window by the... waiting to scare the kids. It's three-fingered Louie at the door.
Oh, no.
Wait, I gotta look this up. Is this like one of those stories that goes around? I gotta see.
Three-fingered Louie, hold up.
But they tell the kids this three-fingered Louie. Let's see. I'm gonna go scary story and see what it says. The camping, the ghost story of three-fingered Willie. So it looks like this is an old three-fingered Willie. I'm just seeing three-finger Willie, not Louie. Maybe they changed the name to protect the innocent Willie.
Let's see what Urban Dictionary says.
So if he's outside the cabin waiting to scare the kids, and they tell this story every year at camp to scare the kids, is there somebody else dressed up to scare Robert? Because somebody else knows that this is going on, and they're like, "We're going to get all of them. This year is going to be really funny." Is there another camp counselor that could have dressed up and done something that made himself look like three-fingered Louie?
Also, how the hell are you supposed to distinct if one has three fingers? Because if it's just, like, a shadowy figure, I mean, you'd have, like, your palms, like, out, like, if you're, like, running that way to only distinct, like, having three fingers.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just kind of wonder if someone wasn't trying to scare Robert and Brock and the kids.
Love it.
Because you know what I mean? They're scared. They probably do this every year at camp. And now this year... Let's get Robert and Brock. That'll be funny. That's my theory. I don't know. Or maybe it was three-fingered Louie or his cousin three-fingered Willie.
Three-fingered Willie.
Out there to scare the children. So if you have a real ghost story or one about three-fingered Louie, call it in at 855-853-4802 or write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you'd like to be a premium subscriber, you get advanced episodes, access to the archive, all without commercials. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts. You could go to patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.
you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.